This is Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson. Coming up, a longtime disability rights activist writes the novel she never read while growing up, one with well-rounded disabled characters.
But first, to the situation in South Sudan, where reports of atrocities are emerging after a week of ethnic violence in the world's newest nation. That violence was triggered by a power struggle between President Salva Kiir, a member of the ethnic Dinka, and his ex-vice president Riek Machar, who is of the Nuer tribe. There are no signs that violence will stop soon. Witnesses tell the BBC that more than 200 people, mostly Nuer, were shot by government security forces. And another man in the capital, Juba, says gunmen from the majority Dinka ethnic group were shooting people in Nuer areas. James Copnell is the BBC's Africa analyst. He joins us from London. James, first of all, tell us, what are you hearing about what's going on in South Sudan today?
Well, look, the situation militarily is clearly worrying, hearing reports of conflict spreading to new areas of the country. It's a very difficult situation to monitor very closely, but it's clear that the former vice president, Riek Machar, who's now in rebellion, forces loyal to him, or at any rate against the government, have been fighting in several states, and forces loyal to Mr. Machar have control of the town of Bor, which is on the doorstep of the capital, Juba, and also Bentiu as well, which is in the oil-producing Unity State. And there's also been fighting too in nearby Upper Nile State, which is where a lot of oil is produced as well.
Now, we're hearing witnesses tell the BBC about people being shot possibly by government security forces. Is there evidence of atrocities going on?
I think it's fair to say at the moment there are lots of accusations of atrocities, and this is made by people talking to journalists, but also by organisations like Human Rights Watch and Amnesty. But the United Nations has just said that its investigators have discovered a mass grave in the town of Bentiu. That's one of those towns which from about Friday evening or Saturday morning has been under the control of the rebels. This mass grave apparently has about 75 bodies in it, and there were reportedly, the UN says, another couple of mass graves in Juba as well. So the picture isn't entirely clear. Both sides obviously throwing blame around, but an increasing body of accusations, at any rate, about serious, serious abuses.
Well, there's clearly a growing humanitarian crisis as well. Thousands of refugees fleeing the fighting that's going on. Toby Lanzer is the UN's envoy in South Sudan. We have a little bit of tape from him when he spoke with the BBC at the UN camp in Bor. Let's listen to that.
It's been difficult, but we've been reinforcing the base. And the main thing to do in the next 12, 24 hours is to make sure that everybody who is under the protection of the United Nations gets the best protection and the best possible safety and assistance that we can muster.
Now, safety and assistance, yes, but when he mentions protection a couple times, is there fear that the refugee camps may be attacked?
Well, look, already one UN camp in the small town of Akobo was overrun by armed civilians, armed youth, from the Lao Nuer ethnic group, it's believed, and a couple of Indian peacekeepers were killed and some Dinka civilians were killed. There was an ethnic dimension, it seems, to this fighting. The United Nations is strengthening its camp in Bor. It's got something like 15,000 people there. Of course, it's very difficult to get food and water for those people, supplies even too. So there's a fear that if communal tensions explode even more than they are already, I suppose, it is possible, yes, that civilians taking shelter in UN bases could become a target of attacks, and therefore those UN bases as well.
Now, James, finally, if I may ask you, you know this continent and this area very, very well. You've reported from Africa for quite some time and even covered the birth of South Sudan as a nation in 2011. This ethnic fighting and violence now, did anyone see this coming?
I don't think anyone would have wanted to predict the speed at which this has degenerated in the last week or so. But I think some of the warning signs for South Sudan were there. When it became independent in 2011, it was after decades of conflict with Khartoum, when what is now South Sudan was part of the United Sudan. And the people who took it to independence were all rebel leaders. and there wasn't a very strongly established political culture, or at any rate, there weren't the institutions to give a degree of control to that political culture. It's a very militarized society, and one that partly because of the efforts of Khartoum during that long civil war, or two long civil wars, to divide and rule the southern Sudanese people, pitting one ethnic group against another. So existing ethnic tensions were exacerbated by that conflict. So South Sudan and independence was a fragile country, but certainly things have got pretty bad pretty fast.
James Copnell is the BBC's Africa analyst, speaking to us today from London regarding the situation in South Sudan. James, thank you very much.
Thank you.